You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Karen Boyer. Karen, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about your company, which I know is you, but can you tell me a little bit about what it is exactly that your company does?
Okay, my company is called Elements in Play, and it's an art advisory business. And I work with both new and experienced collectors to help build collections that have both aesthetic and monetary value. I believe that all of my clients should buy what they love, but I also think that there is value in art, and you can buy both. So that's sort of my goal in helping build the collections with my clients.
And, you know, I think it's kind of important to define the terms of collectors and art advisors. And I've spoken with some art advisors before, but everybody seems to have different kind of fields that they're working in. When artists think about art advisors, normally do you not deal directly with artists, just to kind of define your role, you know, in relationship to how artists seek it? Your relationship is essentially with collectors and galleries, or do you do artist studio visits and have direct relationships with artists?
That's a very good question, and something that comes up a lot, because art advisors all have different businesses. For myself, I don't work with artists directly. I do have relationships with artists, and I do often take clients to artist studios. And if artists are not working with a gallery, then I will buy or help my clients buy out of artist studios. But I don't have any sort of relationship with an artist where an artist pays me. I work for my clients. My clients pay me, and I think there's a conflict of interest if you're doing both. So I'm very careful not to work with artists. But most of my clients do buy through galleries. I usually recommend artists that are a little further along in their careers that do have galleries, and I like to think good galleries that represent them. So most of the sales do happen through galleries, although sometimes also my clients will buy privately from other collectors, and I do facilitate those transactions as well if it's a secondary market or a resale piece that is not available through a gallery but is, for instance, hanging on somebody else's wall.
Right, and of course, artists working with you directly, that sounds like it's not normally the program that you operate with. There are some artists, and just correct me if I'm wrong, where they're working outside the gallery system or perhaps don't have a gallery, and you are bringing collectors directly to their studio, or is that not normally the case?
Yeah, that does happen sometimes. Generally, I will help my clients buy from a gallery, but sometimes artists that I like are in between galleries, or they don't have galleries in New York. They might have galleries in Europe or in Los Angeles, or they're in Los Angeles and don't have galleries there. Then I will facilitate transactions directly from the artist studio. But most of the art comes directly from galleries.
So can we go back a little bit to the founding of your company? How did you get involved in art advisory? And how did this all begin?
Well, it's sort of a different route than most art advisors take. My mother's an artist, so I grew up always being around a lot of art and going to museums and galleries and learning about art, and I studied art in college for fun. And after college, I studied art history at the Sorbonne for a year, again, just for fun, never really thinking that I would work in the art business. In fact, I didn't really know there was an art business. But I moved to New York. I had grown up in Los Angeles, and after Paris, I moved to New York, and I joined several museum groups at MoMA and the Met, and met a lot of people that worked in art business, other collectors, and I started collecting myself about 14 years ago when I was working in the hedge fund business. I used to raise money for hedge funds, and when I started collecting art, I started spending more and more, and then what became all of my free time looking at art, because I wanted to make sure that I was making correct purchasing decisions. Having come from finance, I think I have more of an analytical mind that way. And once I started spending all my time looking at art, I just really wanted to work in the art business. So I left finance I got a job at a gallery, and I left there about 5.5 years ago to start my own advisory business.
Okay, now I want to ask you more about just how you started it, but to go back a few paces, how did you get involved in raising money for hedge funds, if I can ask? It sounded like your background was art history, you were steeped in art, and all of a sudden you're in the financial sector at a pretty high level, it sounds like, raising money.
That is a good question, and actually not one that I get asked very often. I had started an internet company with some friends revolving around restaurants years ago, and that company went out of business, and we sold the assets to some finance guys, and I ended up doing some consulting for them, and one of them started a hedge fund and hired me to do operations for the hedge fund because I had started an internet company and I knew how to start a company, and he didn't. And then they taught me the business, and I went into fundraising.
But what is that, if I can ask?
But
what
it is true. I didn't know anything about finance. They sent me to some classes, and I picked it up and just ran with it.
And did that sounds like it was something that must have helped in the building relationships with your company. So now moving ahead to the founding of your company after you left finance, how does that begin? You already had relationships, or were you already working with collectors, or you had to start from scratch essentially?
Well, it was a bit of a combination. I had a lot of contacts, as you were pointing out, that work in finance. So when I started working at the gallery, I was able to bring in some business just from friends and people that I met along the way. And when I left the gallery, I was able to bring my own clients with me. When I was there, I also worked with clients of the gallery, and I did not continue those relationships, but I had my own relationships, and then I just built from there. But my ties to the finance industry has definitely helped build a client base, and I would say the majority of my clients are hedge fund managers or people that work in other capacities in finance.
And your company has been established for almost, 14 years now?
No, almost 5.5.
Oh, 5.5, okay. That was when you started collecting 14 years ago.
Oh, yes, exactly.
So in that 5.5 years, what have you seen or learned? Are you... Obviously, you're getting more involved in different types of collections or building different types of collections. Has it brought you into other areas of art that you didn't like before or know much about, or are you staying in a particular area of contemporary art?
Well, I've always focused on post-war and contemporary, and that ranges from Warhols to up-and-coming artists that very few people have heard about. And I like that range, and I continue to work in that, and I have clients that buy only emerging artists, and I have clients that only buy blue chip, and I have clients that buy both. I have, during the progression of my company and my career and working with clients, I have seen particular clients change what they're buying. You know, maybe they like landscapes in the beginning, and after a couple of years, they are into more conceptual art, which is interesting to see their taste change. And I've also seen the business change. I mean, the business wasn't that great when I started in terms of coming out of the recession and people not being as free to spend their disposable income. But now I think people are more and more into art. There's a lot more places to buy art. As I'm sure you know, there's now an art fair somewhere in the world at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. There's a plethora of websites where you can buy art, and there's sort of a lot of noise out there, I think, of buying art, and everybody wants to buy art, and everybody's considering themselves an expert on art now. But I think that that's where my job becomes more and more important, because it's harder to figure out where to buy and what to buy because there are so many outlets and so many artists and so much information around, and it is overwhelming.
Well, that's a really good point and fascinating, right? I realize you came in just after the recession. since there is so much to look at and so much out there, as you're saying, that's an important part of your role, I would think, to help the collector discern what is good and what isn't good and what to buy and what not to buy. How do you approach that? That seems like a difficult task.
Well, I go to a lot of art fairs. I go to a lot of galleries. I talk to a lot of people. I try to find out who, like, what artists, not necessarily are hot, because the hot artists sometimes now are just a fad, but if they're being collected by real collectors and very good collections and getting museum and institutional support, then those are artists that I recommend to my clients. I mean, I work with all my clients in slightly different ways, but when I start with them, a lot of them have never bought art before. I help them figure out what they like. There's a big educational component. I teach them about the art market. I teach them how it works. I try to have them see as much art as possible before they start buying anything, because I don't want them to have any regrets. I look at all my relationships as long-term, and I'm not trying to just fill up the walls very quickly. I want to build smart collections with people. And like I said, I want them to be happy over the long term. So I help them figure out what they like, and then we look at a lot of art and understand how certain things fit into art history. And then when they start buying, everything makes sense. But every collection is different. I don't really support different fads. I try to help people build collections that they love sort of within the artist universe that I approve of. Going back to, you know, the due diligence I do on artists and institutional support and everything like that I was saying before.
Right. And, you know, it's really kind of a fascinating, to me, window that you're operating in that's so recent, and when there's been so many changes that are still happening in the art market and the art world, and as you're saying, all this noise about it. Do you see it, how do you see the future of it? I mean, most trends seem to be that more people are buying art, there's more art fairs, there's more artists, it's just growing. Do you see it just continuing in growth the way it is?
Well, I do think that people will continue to buy art, more and more people, and I am happy that it's more accessible at different levels for people, because I think that living with art makes people's lives better. You know, it's nice to have something to look at on your wall and can cheer you up when you come home from a bad day at work, and I think it's great. I do think right now that there are too many websites selling art, and I think that there will be winners and there will be losers, and eventually that will shake out and there will be places that people can go and trust to buy art online. I personally still suggest all my clients see art in person unless they're very familiar with an artist and they know the work and they've seen it before and they're waiting for the right piece to become available. Maybe then it's okay to buy online or directly from a JPEG, but I'm still old-fashioned. I think you should stand in front of a piece of art or walk around it to understand how it makes you feel that way. I think so too.
Is there, when you talk about different places selling it online, are we talking about like Padelate, Artsy, or Saatchi? What do you mean by, like, selling it online? Who's really selling it?
Yeah, those companies and ArtSpace, ArtNet, and there's a lot of places. I recently read there's a gallery now that is selling art online up to $50,000, which I think is fine. I mean, there's people all over the world that don't have access to galleries that can buy art online, but I still think that you should see it in person if you can. That's why I think art fairs have become so popular in locations that don't have a lot of galleries, because people can go and stand in front of a painting, but they've never been able to do that before to that extent.
Right, and I think that is important, and because that's really the experience of art, to have a kind of dialogue with it.
Right. Yeah, and if you're going to live with it, you want to know what it really looks like.
Well, you want to know the scale too, right? I mean, you're looking at a JPEG. Maybe you can get a vague sense of what the size is, but not really until it's in front of you. Are collectors changing in their attitudes because of this noise, so to speak, that's out there that everyone's interpreting in different ways and artists interpret it as, you know, that I talk to is, where is all this money? Everyone's talking about it all, but for most artists, the massive artists, they're not seeing that kind of
money. Yeah, it doesn't trickle down to everybody. The biggest change that I've seen, which I don't like, is that people want to buy art at art fairs. They think that that's the best place to buy art, and they want to be able to tell their friends that they went to Freeze and bought a painting and come look at what I bought at Freeze and isn't this great. And I think art fairs are a fine place to buy art if you've done your homework. But just walking down an aisle and picking something because it is pretty and you're at an art fair and you have 5 minutes to decide whether to buy it, I just think is the wrong way to go about buying art. But I, you know, I've seen it with my own clients around October. They say, oh, we don't want to buy anything until Miami, Art Basel, which for me is a little bit frustrating, and I think it's kind of silly because I think that art fairs, some of them do have a lot of great works, but with the proliferation of art fairs, the galleries are doing more and more art fairs every year. They are pushing their artists to make more and more works so they can take them to art fairs. And I believe that subpar works often end up on art fair walls, booths. And I don't think anybody should go home with those. So I think that you have to be really careful. And I think that the trend towards buying at fairs is not a good one. I mean, people should go see gallery shows. They should understand the whole body of work, not just pick one piece.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me too, and I'm glad you said that, because really it's also an understanding of not just one piece of art that you like to live with, and correct me if you perceive this differently, but it's an understanding of the context, of the cultural context, and even a bit about art history, isn't it? Isn't that important for collectors too?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's very, very important.
Well, Karen, it's really been a pleasure talking with you today. I wanna wish you the best with your company, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Well, thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.